Welcome to the Restoration Church podcast, Behind the Sermon, where we get to sit in on a conversation between our pastors and hear about what they're learning, what they're teaching, and what God is doing throughout our church. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pastor Jeremy. Pastor Stephen, what's up?
What's up? Doing good. It's funny, we're starting this way, but here we go.
I know. We talked to, I don't know how many episodes are we in, over 100, because we've done enough. I realized today, the intro says, hey, welcome to the podcast. And then we say, hey, welcome to the podcast. So today we're like, let's just go right into it. And you know what? It felt wrong. After 100 plus episodes, it didn't feel right. Don't change it.
No, we're different. It's a whole different world now. We preached on Sunday, week two, the test of motives.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that for a little bit. But before we do that, just want to share with everybody that I have poison ivy all over my face. And it is a constant firing of every nerve and synapse in my entire body nonstop. This is probably too gruesome, but I have a pocket knife in my pocket. And I just keep thinking about like trying to shave the the poison ivy off because it's so horrifying. It just feels so horrible.
It's so sad.
I don't know where it came from because I wasn't really in the woods at all in the last week. It just came. Actually, now that I think of it, a lady at church who's kind of been disgruntled with me said, I want to rub this potpourri on your face.
Right on my way out, someone hit me with a branch of leaves. What are my motives?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
It doesn't, it's not like gruesome to look at. Like you're still as handsome as ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks painful.
That, I guess I'm an ugly guy. It didn't make you look any worse.
That's not what I meant.
Ow.
Like if the guy from Goonies has a pimple, you don't ever see the pimple.
Oh my gosh.
That is not how I compare you to. You took that too far.
That's how we'll open the podcast.
Hey, you guys.
We're joined here by two of our pastors and a freak.
I can't remember his name. What did they name him in the Goonies, that guy?
I don't know.
Did they have a name?
I haven't watched that in a decade, probably.
It's classic.
What else is going on church-wise? The city of Dover is in the building right now getting a final reading for water and sewer.
Yep.
I don't know if that means anything, but we're scheduled to close the 18th. Their lawyers for the buyers have said they're preparing for closing on the 18th.
Mm.
So
that looking
looks
good.
Positive.
Yeah.
Of course, they... their dates for their contingencies, I can't remember what those are. So there is a day where they can't back out, which we could have already passed, but I can't remember.
Right.
So anyway, it's moving forward anyway.
Yep.
We never had the city come give us final water and sewer tests before.
Right.
So
everything's new now.
I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I do feel a little bit of a lull of excitement, but it's kind of overshadowed by the poison ivy. But I am like, hey, maybe next Tuesday,
right,
we'll have the keys to the new building.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll be running around like crazy screaming with our, the world's on fire, getting ready to move.
It'll be a bit of stuff to do, but thankfully we have a window. Right. We have 4 weeks where we have free access to the Dover building.
Yes.
So that's great.
And like we've talked about before, like we're running such bare bones right now. Like we keep officing in the next steps room because our offices are empty.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything is just like, what the heck? It's so chaotic. We're just ready.
I am.
Ready to go.
Yeah, I guess I am excited.
I can't feel past just my
wait.
Face.
I can't wait to see how excited I am once it finally happens. It'll be like a rush of emotion.
Oh, 100%.
A lot of tears for sure. I won't share them with anybody publicly, but I'll be just parked in the parking lot of the new building. I'll probably sleep in the new building.
Like just
to a sleepover, just to like...
Come on, guys.
Call me, please.
You want to do the sleepover too?
Let's do a lock-in. Let's do a lock-in in the new building. Every time we moved in my family, we would order Chinese takeout, sit on the blank floor, just no furniture, and that would be our first meal there. Let's do that in the new building. We already tried. We snuck Chinese food in to one of our
showings.
We
didn't sneak it in. We ordered Chinese food, and then we were had an inspection. We were meeting sign companies there to get new signage and everything, and different contractors. And
it was great.
It didn't work out to actually eat there, which is what we thought it would happen.
Yeah.
So we just, carried around a bag of Chinese food for an hour and a half, and then we went back to the church and ate it.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh.
That was funny. So this, before we get into the motive test week, I wanted to ask about the book that you have been reading that brought through this series.
Yes.
Mainly because I know you find it impactful because we've done it through the apprenticeship. We've done it through like all these different things.
We use it. So nobody knows about the apprenticeship because we don't really ever talk about it publicly. Yeah. Maybe on the podcast we have a few times. Mm. But we use it for our morning. It's a devotional book. And we use it for our morning devotions during apprenticeship. And it must have been, I don't know if it was last year's apprenticeship or 2 years ago apprenticeship, but it was 2 years ago because it was a series that got bumped out of last year. Mm. But the test that we face, and really in the book, it's a leadership devotional. So it's the test we face that we have to pass for God to move us to the next level of leadership.
Mm.
Which is not the approach we're taking on Sunday morning. But when you pass a test, then he moves you on to the next test. Then he moves you on to the next test.
Yeah.
So the first test in leadership is the small things. So I want to be on stage. Okay, that's wonderful. Can you show up and do rehearsals?
Yeah.
Can you serve in this other area? You're saying you're called to ministry. So when you express, I'm called to ministry, our expectation is, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to help the ministry move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a test of small things. You passed that, and now it's the motive check. Okay, why do you want to be on stage?
Is
it to glorify God or to glorify yourself? Mm-hmm. And there are some people that that don't pass that test, right? There was someone who, someone from another church, and when we were talking with their pastor, the pastor told you, Jeremy, they just like the stage a little too much.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was like, oh, hey, tell us about your worship team or whatever. Oh, this person's up and coming, could be a worship leader. Their issue right now is they love the stage a little too much.
Yeah.
And so they're not getting the stage time that their gifts
would invite them to.
Yeah. Like they're good enough to get the stage time, but their motive check isn't right yet.
Yeah.
And we have definitely had people here that way where we're not letting them move forward because it is too much about the title.
Yeah.
And we're not about that. That's not our culture.
Yeah.
It's too much about the title and it's too much about like, oh, look at me, look at my wisdom, look at my knowledge.
Or I'm
look
important,
at,
yeah.
I'm important, and...
I remember way back in the day being just when we were in Dover being the worship leader there, and I had some people that had kind of, they didn't say it quite as bold enough, but they had talked through the idea of like, hey, if you're not going to schedule me to lead a song, probably just don't schedule me.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Wait, so you won't worship God unless I turn your microphone up louder than mine? Like, it was a really interesting, like, I just feel like you're wasting my skill set.
Yeah.
And that was like a, all right, schedule harmony. You're on harmony from now on. Yeah,
we'll help you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And I think people can get upset at us for that. Mm. But again, we're pastors, so we've got a responsibility to Ephesians for you, equip you for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And we also have a responsibility to be shepherds and protect the church. Okay. So it's a both problem. Like, I remember a number of years ago, we invited someone into the internship, but they wouldn't do it because they would not take the title intern.
Yeah.
They were serving way more than the demands of an intern.
Yeah.
But they would not take that title. Oh, I don't want to be an intern. Well, you already are doing everything an intern does. This just allows us, this puts you in the program for us to pay for your credentials.
Right.
And it puts you in that profit. But they wouldn't do it. They could not take they wouldn't even take a worship leader title because they wanted to be a musical superstar. Right.
Yeah.
So that was a bizarre, I could never understand that.
Yeah.
You're willing to serve because they would serve and do whatever, but they would not take a title lesser than what they thought they deserved.
Yeah.
Which again, right, is a motive check. And they didn't, as far as I know, they haven't passed that test yet.
Yeah.
And so that's, 10 years later.
Right. Yeah. That's always so hard.
How do you navigate through that? Like, so if someone really wants to grow in their talent and gift or whatever God is calling them into to do in the local church or anywhere else, how do you balance the thought of like, hey, put me in so I want to do this. So in my head, right, like if I want to be a better leader, I would love to have given the opportunity to learn and discover in that process, right? To know like what are my skills or what is not, what am I good at and things like that. And so navigating that and then like finding out like, hey, I'm seeking the position, not the actual thing.
Mm.
Right? In the sense like, how do you navigate through that? Like, go ahead.
I feel like oftentimes it does reveal itself. You kind of start to catch through sentences or attitudes some motives. Now, like, I think a healthy thing that we always have is either Matthew 18 or something we know that we institute is of like, hey, can I check an assumption or can I read your mind real quick? Just a safe way to, instead of just judging their motives.
Right.
Because we're kids, we can't do that.
We should have talked about that on Sunday.
Checking assumptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is a tool we use.
Yeah.
Not to judge motives.
Well, we can teach it right here.
We'll teach it. We'll teach it in a second.
But that idea, like, I feel like it reveals itself as you keep putting people through certain things. There's either an attitude or just you start to catch these things all the time of like,
it's not hard when you're wired to look for it.
Yeah.
It's not hard when you're wired to look for it.
To find when people are like.
So my Toyota, my 2001 Toyota Tacoma, it was misfiring. It was not running good and it was misfiring. Now, I scheduled it to go to the shop, but in the meantime, I needed to use it. So I started trying to research what was wrong with it. me and Abram ended up fixing it. We fixed it in less than an hour. It cost $150 for all the parts, and it's running like it's 20 years old again.
Yeah.
And
like it's 20 years old.
But for a mechanic who knows what to look for, they would listen to it and be like, oh, I think it's this. They would have figured it out. You know, it took me maybe an hour of internet research, but they wouldn't have had to research. They would have just been like, oh yeah, misfiring. They wouldn't have to pull the codes, nothing. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at people who have wrong motives, I don't think most of the time we don't know that, right?
Yeah.
Someone's like, hey, I'm in love with you. Send me money over the internet, and you get scammed out of thousands of dollars just because you're not wired to look that way. But because we're pastors and we're called the shepherd, we're like, is that a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a goat or is that a sheep? And because we have the shepherd role, we're looking that way naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wrong sometimes. But the Holy Spirit within us, I don't think we're wrong very often.
Yeah.
And that's across all of our pastoral team.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. I love the car.
But test the small things. We give people that test.
Yeah.
All the time. So on the worship team, can you come to rehearsal for a month?
Right.
Mm.
The small things of I want to be a singer. Perfect. We're here at 7 a.m. You want to come hang out this week?
Yeah.
And so you need to show that you'll show up if you're not getting stage time.
Yep.
Just show that little thing real quick and then we can move you forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, preaching on stage.
Right.
How do you handle the hosting moments? How do you handle, you know, I think some, I want to make, I want to tell my illustration, but make it clear that it's not about anybody. So let's go back. Let's go back. I've been lead pastor how long? 13 years. So let's go back. Let's go back 10 years ago. All right. So that eliminates a whole bunch of people because they're all. Someone wanted to preach. I gave them the opportunity. They were not prepared. And I never gave them another opportunity.
Yeah.
Here was your test. I gave you a slot. You came in unprepared. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't get the opportunity again.
Yeah.
It was a test of a small thing. Now they could have continued, but they just didn't get the opportunity again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's.
I think an important part, though, is to realize like that is something we see, you know, the motive check, but more often than not, just to paint in a positive light, I don't feel like I'm motive checking 90% of the time. If anything, my conversations are, hey, do you want to come and do this with me? I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm ready for that. And part of like the other half of shepherding that is a positive portion, just so it doesn't sound like all we're doing is gatekeeping, like bad motives. A lot of it is pushing to.
Yeah, we're giving people.
No, you can.
We're giving people the small steps so they can win.
Right.
Like that's our motive.
Yeah.
We want you to get into that place. We want you to live out everything that God has for you.
Yeah.
But when you all of a sudden you're not passing these tests, then we're trying to coach you past it.
Mm.
We want you to succeed and coach past it. And if you won't be coached, or you won't let us pastor you, or you're not teachable and correctable, then you're stalled out, which is what you're talking about in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The wilderness test.
Mm-hmm.
You'll stall out because God wants you to grow further and you're not
pushing through.
You're not taking any of the steps to grow further.
Yep.
And
yeah.
So test of small things. We give those as great things. Like, you know, for me, like I'll see something before you. And so let's talk about Pastor Rob, the Milton location pastor. When he was 18 years old, I asked him to be the kids director in Dover.
Mm.
Because I saw that in him. I saw future pastor.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, hey, would you step into this? Would you? And so then small step leads to small step leads to, and you end up, you know, where he is now.
Yeah.
Leading a location.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. I loved the point you brought through of how subtle the enemy is with these motives, and when people are really just like not letting the Holy Spirit lead them, they're letting their pride lead them and other things like that. And you talk through like, they're not walking up to us and just flat out saying like, hey, you want to leave this church and go worship something else? Like no one's doing that. But I think there is that such a fear of those, you're asking those questions that just plant doubt in people's heads and working through that. How would you work through if someone genuinely is just curious, or if they're like, or if they're being deceptive in that kind of way? Like, just right. Like, if I'm attending a church and I just start getting close to someone and they just genuinely are like, who are the elders of the church? Or like, you know, whatever it may be.
Well, I think there's a posture of learning and there's a posture of criticism.
Yeah.
And they can have the exact same words. I can say to my wife, hey, what are you doing? And I can say, hey, what are you doing? And so it's the same words.
But, yo.
That's so funny.
And she'll instantly know which way I'm asking.
Mm.
So I think that's part of it, right? It is part of it. Like, you've got to, you may not recognize that at first, but maybe hopefully you recognize it in a couple of months. Like, oh, wait a minute. What's going on here is they're trying to divide me from my friends in church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to, so I think you hopefully recognize that after a while.
Yeah.
For me, a great thing, like if you don't know the answer, you say, I'm not sure. Let's go. There's Pastor Josmar. There's Pastor Stephen. Let's go ask him. And they're like, oh, no, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you just, they don't actually want to know the answer.
Yeah.
And that's usually a big key as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, because it's great when it's like, it's always a comfort to know, like, hey, whatever. Like, we've had that recently where it's like a small group's talking about leadership at church, but the small group leader is like, hey, I don't know how to answer these. I need the answers to this. It's like, cool. So it's a healthy discussion that someone's seeking the answers and pulling it together. And like, people have reached out about like stuff like that, like leadership answers.
Let me talk about a real one. And I don't want to talk bad about people, but I, you know, it's the podcast. Let's talk about real situations. Here, someone or a criticism that had shown up a year or two ago was, they don't do outreach. Restoration Church doesn't do outreach. And no one ever talked to me about it, but it was a lot of whispering.
Yeah.
No, they don't do outreach. They don't do outreach. And so they start putting that narrative in people's minds. And so that I've heard that a couple of times, like Restoration Church doesn't do anything for outreach. And I mean, can we talk about what we do for a moment? You know, we have food pantries in two locations.
What are the numbers that saw over 400 people this last
400 week? Families?
400 families this last week.
Yeah, between the two of them.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
That's outrageous. That's not a food closet? What is that language where you have like a couple...
Yeah.
You have a food, but just in case someone from your church needs it, you're helping a family a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can think about, there's been a couple of food closets in close churches that when we moved in there, 95% of the food was expired.
Yeah.
So you could call that an outreach, but if all the food's expired, it means you're not giving it out to people.
Right.
So you got the food pantry. Obviously, the sober living home is not opened yet, but we've invested money and time. We're just waiting. There is stuff done this week. We can't get our last fire inspection, them to return our phone calls. Mm. So we're just going to, anyway, but we're doing that, the sober living home.
Yeah.
We have Christian counseling that's been going on for the last 2 years. That people in our community have been utilizing and signing up for. Mm. We have prison ministry every single week at the jail. You can be involved in that. We've invited people to be involved in that. So that's happening every single week.
Yeah.
Women's Bible studies midweek at the jail. Nursing home ministry going on during the week. We have our mission trips that we're doing twice a year.
Right.
We just got invited to do a mission trip to Morocco. That invitation came today. So we might do that in 2025.
Wow.
That's outreach.
Yep.
Other things that we're thinking about that.
Well, what you're making me think through the idea of the motive check for someone saying, oh, the church doesn't do that. Or, whatever, having those complaints. Leadership doesn't do this at the church. The question really becomes, are they not doing outreach or are they just not doing it your way?
Right.
And now the motive check comes in. Oh, I have a problem with it because it's not my way.
Right.
And I will refuse to see what the outreach is, right? And so it's the same thing, like, oh, the church doesn't really worship here. Okay. The church doesn't worship your way, or the church doesn't outreach your way, or,
whatever it may be. I feel like I've talked about this a long time ago, but we have to just understand what our preference is. And it's okay to say, this is my preference.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to make it spiritual.
Right.
When it's like King James Version, I prefer the King James Version. No problem. I understand why you would like that. I still have most of my scriptures I memorized were in King James Version growing up.
Yeah.
I understand. But don't make it a spiritual issue.
Yeah.
Because it's not. You can't find it in scripture that you have to use that English translation.
Yep.
So own it as a preference. Same with our worship, lights and haze. It's not a spiritual issue. Mm-hmm. It's a preference issue. Loud music or soft music is not a spiritual issue. It's a preference issue.
Yeah.
Me telling a lot of stories or me only using stories from scripture, it is a preference issue.
Yeah.
So you don't have to like my teaching style.
Yeah.
That's fine. But unless I'm preaching from the Quran, there's not a, it's a preference issue. It's not a spiritual issue. So that's, and then obviously we're pointing to Jesus every week. We're hitting the gospel every week.
Right.
So I think because we are not aware of our own motives, we don't even know it's a preference issue. We want our preference. And so we're acting spiritual, but we're not even aware of our own motives.
Yeah.
My motives are to make it the way I like it, not to make it the way that's going to reach people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any way that we can reverse that, Pastor Nate? Like if I have a problem where I only see through that lens, like critiques or like unhealthy stuff, like, in the sense, like, so if I say something, it's always kind of like negative coming out. So like this morning, somebody texted me about the building. I said, oh, it's scheduled to close on 18th. So it was like, oh, yeah, let's pray to ask whether this is from God or not. I was like, what? You know, I was like, thanks. Yeah, keep praying. I was like, so it's kind of like everything is kind of like in that sense, in that lens, you know.
Right.
So what can we as leaders, or how can we help people like that who only sees through that lens?
Yeah, I think I think it would be a great time to talk about the conversation tool of checking assumptions or mind reading, that idea. Because I think, I don't know if you guys have read Screwtape Letters.
Yep.
One of the things that he talked about was we don't have to actually cause problems with their marriage. We just need to make each of them assume what the other means. And so Screwtape Letters is like is written in the voice of a demon trying to mess up this guy's life. And so he has this idea of, if we just put assumptions in their head, they're going to hate each other, because you're going to say, oh, what are you doing? And they're going to hear, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. And so then it's like, oh, you hate me. Oh, you are judging me, whatever it is. And so there's a tool that we use called checking assumptions, which is just breaking that awkwardness and asking, hey, can I check an assumption that I'm having right now? And the way the conversation would go, they would either say yes or no. Maybe you'd have to explain it like, oh, no, what I mean is I'm feeling a certain way about what you just said, and I don't want to accuse you. So I'm just going to say what that felt like. And I just need you to tell me I'm right or wrong in it. So they give you permission. You say, I feel that you think whatever it is, this move is not from God. I think that you think, that's another way that he words it. I think that you think this is not a work of God. Is that true? And then they're able to answer to it like, well, yeah, I don't know. It feels like you're forcing it, or it feels like, and then you open up that conversation. But to live in that assumption is just so rough. And I think that's the piece that's like, when you can sit down with people that you feel are pulling in a negative way or anything like that, to just say like, hey, can I read your mind for a second? Because I'm having a hard time figuring out what you mean by this. Can I just tell you what it feels like? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that you think this. No, I don't think that. Okay, so what do you think?
Right.
Right? And so that's just a tool that we've tried to utilize. We probably don't use it as much as we did like Matthew 18. I think we could probably check assumptions way more.
Yeah. I'll do it in meetings a lot.
Yeah.
Or smaller meetings. Mm-hmm. Hey, is everything okay? Everything okay? Did that make you upset?
Yeah.
And okay, it feels like you're upset right now. Talk to me about what's going on. What's the emotional reaction that you're having right now? Is it about something I've said? Or that I've said to you? And so checking those assumptions rather than assuming.
Right.
They don't want to be here. They don't like me as a pastor. They're you know what, I've said something that's offended them. And then that helps us to,
and they're like, no, I just didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got a text message. My doctor says my hemoglobin has turned into a hemoglobin, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I remember even just doing that. Like, we had a worship leader meeting, and one of the worship leaders just worked an insane amount of hours. So I was like, are we good? Should we like reschedule this? And they're like, my face says I hate this. My heart is very happy right now. And they just explained like what they were going through. So yeah, it's good to just take that pause.
Yeah.
And I think the connection to that Pete Scazzaro, the guy who had taught that emotionally healthy spirituality, was that idea of true peacemaking is, if there's something hanging out in the conversation that feels off, our tactic is to ignore it.
Right.
Oh, well, I don't want to cause waves. I'll be a peacekeeper. Like, I don't want to cause any waves. But he's teaching through like, no, rip that up, because then there'll be peace after.
Right.
Like, hey, I think you don't trust me. Like, imagine if we could just have that type of conversation. Like, no, I trust you. Like, yeah, no. So that's just a tool that I think if you're finding people that are always doing that, and even if, like you had said, Pastor Nate, like when you start to identify if people are trying to be divisive, instead of cutting them off and leaving, which is not what the church should be doing to each other, right? If this person, if someone you're friends with who attends church has a divisive attitude, cutting them off and walking away just means they're going to try with someone else, because maybe they don't even notice that that's there,
right?
My heart. But if you've gotten close to this person, you'd be like, can I read your mind? I think that you think you should be lead pastor. What do you think of that? Right. And just start those conversations. I think that would check people. And sometimes just saying your motives out loud makes you realize how crazy you are. Right. That's true for me. I'm not saying like for anyone, like, when you say something out loud, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a psychopath.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, I am mad that other church is growing faster than our church is growing.
Right.
Okay, can you explain that? You're mad that the kingdom of God is growing. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, God. You're mad that, if you're single, you're mad that the other person's in a relationship. And that they're getting married, and you're mad about that?
Yeah.
So you're not mad at them, so stop giving them the side eye and recognize, and so begin to talk with God about what you're really feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I just said that's so good.
No, one of the things I really loved hearing was you talking through, like, pursue Jesus and not his benefits.
Mm.
I think that was really good. That really struck me in a different ways. But like that idea of pursuing him and not his benefits, we often get into that reverse mentality. All right, God, you bless us first so we can serve you better. Or you open that door so I can step in, that does not show faith. That does not show the heart, but yeah, I enjoyed hearing that from you, pursue him and not his benefits. Mm. It's not saying the benefits are not there. It's telling, hey, for me, that's what I was like, oh, it's not saying the benefits won't come to you. It will come if you pursue him first. Yeah. So I really enjoyed him.
If you pursue the benefits, you'll walk away from Jesus when they disappear. If you pursue Jesus, then you're going to pursue him no matter what else is happening.
That's so good.
That needs to be in the shorts.
Yeah.
YouTube shorts.
Yeah.
Think about that, it from a good marriage perspective, right? You say, to having to hold from to stay forward in sickness and health, rich or poor and whatever else we say. But what you're saying is I'm pursuing you. I'm connecting my life to yours, not for the benefits. I'm not doing it. I'm not marrying you until you can't do my laundry anymore. And then we're over with.
Right.
I'm not pursuing you. You know, when you say in sickness and in health, that if I have to be the one who's serving you 100%, then I will still do it because I'm not marrying you for anything you can give me, any happiness you can give me. I'm marrying you because I'm choosing to align my heart and life to you as a person, not for any of the benefits that I anticipate coming from this relationship.
Right.
And then you're able to, I quote this, you can be a great spouse in a bad marriage. That allows you to be a great spouse in a bad marriage.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, any book recommendations or anything that you want to...
Michelle and I... No, no.
What?
A bad joke. I'm going to filter it out.
We're going to cut that. That's
book recommendations... there's a book called Overcoming the Dark Side of Leadership. And it talks about how, like our shadow, if we have a gift, there's a shadow part to it. And I can't remember them all, but one of the gifts, I remember one of the shadows being paranoia. And, but anyway, that's a helpful book to help you to recognize your, maybe your unseen motives, things that are causing, you know, you're acting, you're trying to accomplish things because of, you're trying to deal with paranoia, you're trying to deal with insecurity, you're trying to deal with a chip on your shoulder, and those are all wrong motives. Like having a chip on your shoulder is a wrong motive.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove everybody wrong. Well, that's a wrong motive, which is a motive I've had before, right? So yeah, that, I think that's a helpful book.
Is that by Anthony Normore?
Maybe.
Well, I suppose I'll look it up for you.
Yeah. We'll link it.
All right.
I say that, so we'll do it.
Gary McIntosh and Samuel D. Rima.
I was looking at the different one. Perfect.
Way All right. off. That's good.
Way off.
Sounds like a good read.
It's a good one.
Awesome. Well, thanks for chatting, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you. Everybody be blessed. Have a great week and can't wait to worship on Sunday.